Well, we're looking back on what was a rather fun night at Nationwide Arena in Columbus. Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable is underway. He is Ryan Pinder. My name is Pat Steinberg. And now Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us to complete our roundtable this afternoon. Guys, when you give this Flames team an inch, they will take a mile on you. And Derek, I can't remember the last time I looked at this team and considered them as dangerous as they are right now. I can't remember the last time that I said the Flames are one of the most dangerous offensive teams in the NHL. That's what they are for me right now. I can't remember the last time I thought that. What about you?
Well, I certainly haven't thought that in my 5 years calling their games. Right now, they're one of the most explosive teams in the National Hockey League, if not the most explosive team in the NHL, and we saw that last night. What was your stat? They scored 8 goals to the Blue Jackets 2 in the final 39 or 40 minutes of last night.
39-11, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a crazy stat. And the other crazy stat from last night was the fact that it was the Flames' 4th 5-goal period of the season. The other 30 NHL teams combined have 3 of them. What does that tell you? I mean, it's crazy. And the scary thing, and when I say scary, I mean scary good, not scary bad, although scary good for the Flames and their fans and scary bad for the rest of the league, is right now the Flames' top 6 has been really tough to stop. But I still think there's the potential for their bottom 6 to contribute more offensively. And obviously, James Neal would be at the top of that list. And if that starts to happen, this is going to be a really tough team to stop or even slow down.
It's been really, really, really astounding to watch them score goals. I can't recall a time in my life with any ease that they could do this, that they could seemingly score shift after shift at times. They're currently 6th in NHL, I guess tied for 5th in NHL goals per game. And I'm with you, Derek. This isn't a finished piece of work yet. This is still a coach in his, what, 3rd month now at the helm, and there's new bodies that have been incorporated in, Mangiapane up front, Shillington on the back end, although he didn't play last night. I mean, it isn't crazy to think that they could get better defensively. They still haven't really got an established go-to guy in net, it seems. I think it's very much up for debate who's going to start the next few games, whereas most contending teams don't. Like, they could theoretically get a lot better than they are right now on those fronts.
Yeah, I would agree. And here are a couple of other X-Factors, fellas. Mike Smith's ability to play the puck when he gets his game back, and I think he's certainly trending in that direction. And if he starts getting more starts than David Rittich, and I'm not sure that he's earned them at this point, but I think they're probably a 1A, 1B with the way things have gone of late. His ability to play the puck and transition the Flames out of the defensive zone, that's going to help them get more done offensively. And when you look at how their defense is built, I know it was a tough night for Dalton out against his former team in just the second NHL game of the season, but you got Yusuf Alamaki, who's hopefully going to be back in 2 or 3 weeks, and you know he's good at getting the puck out of the zone. You've got Oliver Shillington, who in a handful of games this season has done a good job getting the puck out of the zone, and then you look at the other 5 guys that have played regularly for the Flames this season. They've done a great job getting the puck out of the defensive zone and into the hands of the forwards, who have transitioned it through the neutral zone and into the offensive zone with ease on a lot of nights, and the more time the Flames spend at the other end of the ice, this is obviously something that goes without saying, but the more goals they're going to score and the fewer goals they're going to give up. So their transition game, which starts with the goaltenders, in my opinion, has been a big factor in all the goals they're scoring lately.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, and the biggest lesson that I think teams are learning right now is if you skirt your details and you don't play hard and you don't make life difficult on Calgary skilled players, they will absolutely roll you up. And that was an extreme example last night against Columbus, but we've seen numerous times where just a little bit of lackadaisical play, or maybe you're not as committed as you need to be on finishing checks, or just getting that extra little second in there to make sure that you're making life a little difficult on Gaudreau entering the zone. If you give him that extra half second, he will burn you, and they can finish their opportunities. So no, it's been pretty scary. This Flames team is generating offense at a very high rate. Derek Wills, Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg along with you. Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Guys, what did we think of John Tortorella leaving Sergei Bobrovsky in for 8 of 9 last night, because I didn't understand it. There were numerous times, I want to say at least 3 times last night, where I was saying, okay, well, now is probably the right time to pull Bobrovsky, and yet he just wouldn't do it. And he ends up allowing 8 on 26, Derek.
Yeah, and unlike Patrick Waugh all those years ago with the Canadians, he didn't pull himself out of last night's game. I wouldn't have been surprised to see that happen. So many weird things happened in Nationwide Arena last night. But, you know, I listened to what the Blue Jackets head coach had to say after the game, and he admitted that, you know, he thought about it after the 4th goal and after the 5th goal and after the 6th goal and decided just to try to let Sergei Bobrovsky work through what was a rough night for the 2-time Vezina Trophy winner, and it just wasn't happening. Eventually, he had to pull the trigger and put Jonas Korpisalo in there. But, you know, with the way that game was being played, not only by the Flames, but by the Blue Jackets as well, it was just one of those nights where everything was working offensively. Very little was working defensively. And once the two teams got into a track meet, there wasn't a lot of interest in defending on either side. And, you know, just to balance the conversation a little bit, as exciting as it was to watch the Flames score 9 goals last night, generally speaking, you're not going to win if you give up 6. Now, it was a weird night, and, you know, once in a while you have those types of nights, and I wish we had more of those types of nights. As terrible as they are for coaches, they're a ton of fun for broadcasters and for fans, so I'll take as many as I can get. But, yeah, it was strange to see him left in there for as long as he was, but, you know, maybe, and we might not know the answer to this, but maybe Tortorella asked Bobrovsky if he wanted to stay in. Now, he didn't mention that in his post-game comments, but, you know, sometimes goaltenders, even if the night's not going their way, they want to stay out there, and they want to try to do what they can to help their team bounce back and win the game. So maybe that conversation happened, maybe it didn't, but it certainly was strange to see one of the best goaltenders in the league for a long, long time struggle the way Sergei Bobrovsky did last night. But it just goes to show you, even the best can have bad nights.
Yeah, especially at that position, no question about it. I was a little surprised, but once you don't pull them after 4, and it's, what, tie game at that point? Like, okay, I feel like they're in statement-sending mode, Pat, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe there was just a feel that Torts alluded to in his post-game comments that they really still felt they were in it. But that said, your goalie's showing you he doesn't have it. And sometimes that's the coach sending a message to a player, saying, look, you're one. We expect things out of you. You aren't ready to go. And we don't. He's not going to come out and say that. But if he was sending a message, I think it was loud and clear what it was. You got to be better. You weren't ready to go.
Well, and just, you know, because I don't think Bill Peters pulled David Rittich because solely for Riddick's performance reasons. I think that was, okay, our goalie doesn't necessarily have it in the first period, and neither do we. We need a complete and utter shakeup. And that's exactly what Tortorella could have done. Our goalie doesn't have it, and over the last 20 minutes or so, or however long it's been, neither do we. Let's make the change, send a wake-up call, and he just wouldn't do it. And the first time that I thought it was going to happen, Derek, was after Hanifin made it 5-4. I'm like, okay, well, this is time. Like, this thing's gotten out of control, and Bobrovsky's sprawling all over the place. Clearly doesn't have it. They're playing pond hockey in front of him. Like, this is a good time to make the change. Didn't do it after 5, didn't do it after 6-4, then it's 7-5. He's like, okay, well, if he lets in 8... that's when I'm making the call. 8 goals. And it's like yeah. why are you wait? Why even do it? And like, why did he pull him?
That's even more mystifying. The late pull, I would get it. But to pull after 8, after watching all that you saw, now you're going to do it? Well, what's the point now?
Might as well just keep him in for the rest of the game.
Well, and maybe it had something to do with just saying, okay, this game is now out of reach, and we're going to give our number one guy a little bit more rest. It could have been as simple as that, or just maybe a bit of a mercy rule and getting him out of that net last night. But what a strange night. Do you guys remember what happened the last time those two teams played in that arena?
I believe it was Josh Anderson 1-0 in overtime, right?
Yep. Go. No goals in 60 minutes. Yeah. And then one in overtime. That's how game one of the season series went last year in that same building between the same two teams. So to go from that to 15 goals between the two teams at Nationwide Arena in Columbus last night, that was something to see and reminded me of a lot of games that I used to watch back in the 1980s. But the funny thing is, back in the 80s, there was a lot of water skiing going on, hooking, holding, clutching, grabbing. But you know, the game's not played that way anymore. But you know, I guess the big difference between then and now is that the goaltenders are a lot bigger and a lot more athletic and certainly wearing a lot more equipment than they used to. But last night, it kind of looked like they were wearing those leather pads from the 1980s, didn't it?
It was that was not a good night for save percentages, that's for sure.
When all 4 goalies get used, it probably didn't go to plan.
Yeah.
No.
The best save percentage, Mike Smith at .813. That was not a good night for goalies. Jonas Korpisalo, poor guy, .500 save percentage, allowed one on two. Poor guy.
Yeah, not good. Hey, did you guys see what Mike Smith did with David Riddick after the game?
I did, yeah. It was cool when they the little chat there. I thought it was good.
You know what? Mike Smith has been through similar games and knows how hard it was for David Riddick to come out of that game last night. Riddick, he might actually be more competitive than Mike Smith, which I didn't think was possible. But when I think about how he blew a gasket last week in that game against the Stars on that overtime goal, he is as competitive as any player that I've come across. So it had to really be hard for him to get yanked out of that game, which was still within reach because it's 3-1 at the end of one, and then Smith comes in, gives up a goal on the first shot that he faces, and that's kind of when I thought the game was not going to go the Flames' way. But this is a resilient bunch, isn't it? I mean, they have belief, they have confidence that regardless of what the scoreboard looks like, they can score goals and win games, and that's not something that this team had last year.
The Flames are definitely scoring goals. They probably won't play in another 9-6 game this year. They beat the Columbus Blue Jackets by that score last night. Now, that improves this team to 12-4-2 in their last 18 games since Pittsburgh. That's a pretty good run for the Calgary Flames. It's the Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, Derek, Ryan, and Pat. So here the Flames are, 3-point edge on top of the Pacific Division, one of the better teams in the Western Conference in terms of record. We talked a little bit about this earlier, Derek, but there's no set criteria. There's no definitions that are predefined, but where do we see the Flames in relation to the rest of the NHL or the rest of the Western Conference right now? How do you see the Flames stacking up against the rest of the league?
That is a fantastic question. I certainly think that they're an upper echelon team right now. I mean, there are four divisions in the league, and they're a top one of them. So I think that tells you a story. Now, the division they happen to be atop, the Pacific, is probably the weakest division in the NHL, but you still have to play against teams from the other three divisions. So I think the Flames are definitely an upper echelon team. I think with the way they're playing right now, you could call them a Stanley Cup contender. I wouldn't go as far as to call them elite, because I'm kind of with you, Pat. I think in order to be in that elite group of teams, you have to be really good for more than just a quarter of a season or a half of a season. I think you have to be good season after season. And I heard you guys talking about it earlier. And the four teams you had on your list, Pat, those are the four teams that I would have on my list. But, you know, the Flames are a team that I believe can beat anybody in any given game. That's how good I think they are. And I'm kind of with you right now with the way they're playing, with the way they're being coached, and with the belief and the confidence that they've built. It's kind of something that rubs off on even the broadcasters. You go into every game thinking the Flames have a way better chance to win this game than to lose this game, regardless of who their opponent is. And I know it hasn't been that way during my first 4 years here. So season number five has certainly been a lot different, but they're a team that for me can beat anybody on any night, and things could change between now and the Stanley Cup playoffs. And sometimes trying to win 4 out of 7 against a really good team is more difficult than winning 4 out of 7 against a bunch of teams during the regular season, but this is a group that can score with anybody. The one thing that I'd like to see more from them moving forward, I'd like to see them tighten up a bit defensively. I think in the last couple of weeks, they've been a little bit loose defensively, and I know for a fact Bill Peters wants them to tighten that up. So if you want to nitpick and find an area where they can certainly improve a bit moving forward, that would be it for me.
Yeah, look, it's still, the good news is, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, like it's still only 2+ months into the season. Like, we're not talking about this team still having a ton of defensive issues into late February and March. There's still plenty of time for things to get cleaned up. They need to figure out, or at the very least, start to get a little bit more comfortable in terms of what this goaltending is going to look like. I think there's some defensive things they can still clean up, and their penalty kill for sure. But no, this team is trending in the right direction, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. Is I think they can beat anybody on any given night, and specifically in a Pacific Division conversation, I think they can knock out and take on any team in the Pacific in a 7-game series and feel pretty confident they'd come out on top. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's been a good little run for the Calgary Flames, and they'll try to keep it going. They'll look for a fourth straight win tomorrow when they take on the Minnesota Wild. All right, Wilsey, enjoy the rest of your day off. We'll see you at the rink tomorrow morning.
All right, have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.